we're here in Iceland, aren't we, Kyle?
Yeah, we made it.
Wow, this is just so weird. We've been here for a day, and we've already had a lot of adventures, but right now we're sitting next to a geyser that's supposed to go off any second.
Yeah, and a little bit of, I guess you would call a downpour, or a little bit of a rain.
Oh, it's not a downpour. It's just it's a drizzle.
Showers. Rain showers.
Rain shower. It does that all the time.
Mm-hmm. But it's actually really nice for us to get some actual weather.
Yeah, it's good to have actual weather. It's also good to have some cold water coming down on you because I understand I'm about to be sprayed by scalding water. Mm-hmm. So this will be a nice sort of counterbalance to that.
Yeah, exactly. The wind isn't too bad, and hopefully the scalding water cools a little once it's airborne.
Now, I should point out also that, as with many places in Iceland, there are about 1,000 tourists around, too. They're behaving. They're keeping their distance. They know that we're on the radio, and they shouldn't interfere. But you'll hear an audible gasp probably when the thing goes off. This thing, I believe it's called Stroker is the geyser name?
Or Strocker.
Or Strocker, yeah, pronunciation, forgive me on that.
There's a bunch of K's, S-T-O, it's pretty basically how you'd imagine it spelled, but it's one of two, and the first being Geyser.
One of two here that we know of.
Correct, one of two sort of famous Icelandic geysers, and as I said, the Geyser one is spelled G-E-I-S-E-R, and it's actually, I think, the name geyser comes from.
So this is the first geyser. The one nearby is the first geyser.
Correct. Yeah, it's right around here. But apparently, geyser, that one isn't as functional. I believe it stopped because of an earthquake,
It's been retired.
Indeed. Yeah, it's changed some of the properties. We won't get into that, but suffice to say, this one.
I don't know if you could hear that, but that was Stroker becoming a geyser.
And it's, just made its presence known to us. So,
gosh. People are impressed, and now they're all going home.
That's it. They're done.
Well, I was just thinking what you were saying about the original geyser no longer being functional. Imagine if this were the original geyser. We'd be calling them Strokers instead of geysers. Or Strockers, right. Whatever, however you say it. It's a good thing, because I don't know how to say it. I do know how to say geyser, at least.
That's right. One small change in the functionality, in the history, and it would have been known by a different name. The namesake itself would be entirely different than what most of us are used to.
Now the sound you hear is the sound of hundreds of footsteps passing by as people walk back to their cars after witnessing the geyser going off. But I should point out also that unlike Old Faithful, which is our geyser in the United States, this one goes off pretty frequently, like every 10 minutes or so, maybe even less.
Indeed, yeah. I thought I read it was 2 minutes. It could be 10 minutes. It was going off when we were driving up, actually. We saw it go over a building, and boy, it hasn't stopped.
I was upset by that because, I'm a stickler for spoiler alerts. And if you have the geyser going off while you're driving up to it, you've seen it, it's already done. You know what it looks like. And, put up a sign or something so at least, if you're driving, you can avert your eyes and not look straight ahead. Or how about this, have the road go a different way so that you don't have it in front of you. I don't know, there's all kinds of ways you could probably be more considerate. But regardless, it's okay. We've now seen it actually three times because we saw it again walking up here. And I think we should continue broadcasting until it erupts one more time, because right now it's very empty. There aren't a lot of tourists there.
Now, I will note there are rules, and some people are breaking the rules. They're touching the water. You're not supposed to. It's very hot, apparently, and they say the nearest hospital is 62 km away. So it's a fair warning that something happens, you're going to be scalded and have a nice long ride to think about your actions. But the park itself is really neat. It's mostly free. They encourage you to support the free park by donating, which is a strange way to put it. It's a big canister that I think people are putting trash in, but it's really meant for money.
Yeah, if I donated to having it free, aren't I kind of slapping the people in the face that made it free by donating? They wanted it to be free. who am I to come along and say, no, that's not how it should be done?
That's right. I mean, we really, we want to respect their wishes and enjoy it for free. So we walked past that, and basically there's two main entrances, but there's a lot of little pathways around it, and it's sort of a small park here. On the other side of the road, there's obviously a lodge, even a hotel, and we'll explore there and maybe get a geyser refreshment. But the park itself just basically is a sort of walking park. There's bushes and some vegetation. And in fact, something we actually noted that was a misnomer.
Wow. That was less than 10 minutes.
Yeah, that was definitely, I think, 2-3 minutes. But it's the fact that there are trees here.
There are trees here. A lot of people told us there are no trees in Iceland, and they're wrong, because there are. I don't know if they were all planted here or what, but there are definitely trees. And I also don't know how far up they go. Maybe if we traveled a bit more, they would disappear.
Yeah, and there's quite a bit of open terrain here, obviously, for the pathways and the rock and this sort of yellowy-orange material. I think there's a name for it. They had some postings describing the different things you'll see that basically forms like a calcification or a buildup of mineral, given that this is, you know, directing a whole bunch of stuff from underground upward. So it feels a little otherworldly, given that there's steam and all this liquid and flowing earth being sort of moved and shaped around you as the geyser drains away. But it's kind of a strange contrast, because it's so lush and beautiful just right behind us. There's mm-hmm. wildflowers and grass and different things, and then this very harsh, almost, dare I say, demonic thing coming up from the ground, reminding us of the depths of the earth.
Well, it's also just weird to walk along and see like a creek next to you, but knowing that creek, the temperature is near boiling. And, you know, that's not the kind of thing we used to here on Earth. Other planets, that might be the norm, but here it's very different. So, you know, I did say this is the weirdest country I've been to, the most otherworldly country I've been to. And I've been to North Korea, but that country is like being on Mars for the human aspect of it. This is the natural aspect of it. It's and not like Mars doesn't have this kind of thing. Maybe it did once, but it's just like another planet. And it's just amazing to be here.
Yeah, the point I think would also be well illustrated when you talk about the majority of the landscape isn't quite as lush as I've described. There's farmland, obviously, and a lot of things growing. But when we first sort of got here, the edges of the beaches and sort of these very large landscapes are really craggy, and it's you can tell a volcanic formation, and geologically doesn't really have like a deep topsoil you might imagine in a forest or grassy plains of sorts.
I have an idea. Let's walk over closer to the my hat's dripping onto the microphone. Let's walk over closer to the actual geyser. So maybe we'll hear it better when it goes off next time. I'm not sure how well it picked up from the distance we were at. And also, you know, you might actually feel some droplets of scalding hot water as they come down. It can't be too dangerous, because people are standing pretty near it, and I don't hear any screams of pain.
This is the kind of emphasis we put on our craft. We are here doing this so that we can bring these experiences to you, the listener. I'll add to that. One thing I was expecting is a strong sulfur smell. It's actually really light. It's not quite as overpowering from the result of this water and mineral content that I described. So it doesn't overpower you, doesn't choke you. You can definitely walk around and be comfortable.
It's one little kid that's walking right up to the wire by himself. So I guess it's not too dangerous, but let's try to go as close to it as we possibly can without stepping over the line. This will be frightening. It was a little frightening, wasn't it?
I had to run back.
Yeah, Kyle, where'd you go?
Well, I was just checking my phone.
Hey, it was a doubleheader.
Whoa.
It went off twice. How about that? Try that, Old Faithful. A doubleheader geyser there. That is something else. You heard it here, folks.
I was just reaching for my camera.
You okay there?
No, I'm fine.
You need to change your clothes or anything? Wow.
Just thought I'd get my camera and, you know, shoot a little bit of video while we were talking here, but...
Well, we can do many things at once. Now, this thing has gone off, what, 3 times now since we've been here? This recording, that is. More since we got here. But, wow, this is pretty low-key. You know, you just kind of park your car and walk up. Oh, that's the other thing. We got a car. We were gonna do the Golden Circle tour, you know, which everybody recommends, and it's probably a good idea, but you're stuck with, you know, a bunch of people for 8 hours on a bus and going various places, and you don't really have the freedom to do what you want. For instance, what we're doing right now, couldn't do that if you're on a bus. Well, you could, but you'd be talking to the people on the bus, probably. But you couldn't just stand here and say, I want to see this 3 times, and you know what? I want to see it another time. How about that?
Yeah, or you'd be talked to by someone on the bus, you know, telling you pretty generic stuff, and instead of... you know, having the experience for yourself and being able to recount it as we are now.
Or some guy would walk up to you and start talking about what he feels and, you know, his situation, and you couldn't get him to shut up. And how do you get away from that?
God help him if, you know, we had to explain politics and it could get messy real quick.
You know, but speaking of meeting people, something really weird happened to us today because we staggered out of our hotel. Actually, it's not a hotel. It's a
group home.
A group home. It's not a group home in that there aren't people that are, you know, suffering from addiction or something. No, it's or maybe they are. I don't know if backpacking is an addiction.
But it seems to be a problem.
I don't know. We thought we were just going to have a room in a place. You know, it's expensive enough. But it turned out we have a room, in fact, but it's a room that's attached to other rooms and that there's all these people around. And, you know, you open up your door and there they all are in a kitchen area. And, you know, you have to walk down the hall to use the bathroom. And as soon as you do, someone else wants to use it. It's just really uncomfortable. But it's, you know, it's cheap and it's what a lot of people want to do. And I guess it's okay. It keeps us out of the room at least and wandering around. Anyway, so we got out today and we were walking around the main part of town. And we just decided to have coffee someplace. And it was really good. We had decent coffee there. Mind you, it's incredibly expensive. We spent about $50 on 2 cups of coffee, some orange juice, and we split a sandwich. But that's how it is here in Iceland. But we had these people sit down next to us, and turns out they also were from New York. Turns out they one of them grew up in the same neighborhood I did in Queens. Turns out one of them is a Stony Brook student. Turns out they're staying at the same damn place we're staying at this time. It just got really kind of scary. So we had to leave because I was afraid I was going to find out I was related to this person at some point. So it was pleasant. Good people, nice people. And hopefully they're listeners to WUSB now and WBAI. But you do see a lot of people in Iceland who are tourists. In fact, I'd say most of the people here are tourists right now. That's why I want to come back in the winter.
Yeah, it would be a little bit less, you know, bumping in and bonking while you're enjoying some of the downtown areas. And obviously, the scenery would be completely different. You'd have snow on the ground and a lot of, I guess, winter activity. That is getting harder to find in different places in the world, actually. So for us to experience this place from that vantage is definitely something we're considering for future trips here.
I should also point out that if we did that in the winter, it would be dark, and what it is now is light. In fact, we were driving around yesterday, and it was midnight, and it was light. The sun wasn't up because we're below the Arctic Circle, but it's really kind of cool to be outside and never have it be dark. I think it's also kind of cool to be outside and never have it be light, which is why I want to come back and see what it's like. There won't be as many tourists, obviously. But what you said before about people just being around, yeah, they're around everywhere. You turn to go down an alley and someone else is in that alley or coming exactly where you want to be. And it's just, it's weird. I feel like it's more crowded here than it is in the middle of New York City. And it's also, you know, passing people is more awkward because people have different theories on how you should pass somebody. You wind up walking into people all the time. But, you know, it's just like everybody's kind of like figuring it out and never quite finishing that part. But it's still kind of cool to just experience this very strange and mysterious and beautiful place.
Yeah, that tension, I think, between tourists and locals, it's the type of situation where I think the local people are pretty much used to it and appreciate all the people, but there are attributes of it that are, you know, a little bit more invasive, and you know, there's plenty of reminders for people who might not be as sensitive to attributes of the landscape or where and how to do things, but they definitely provide a lot of insight and activity for you to really get the full experience, especially outside of town. It's a pretty big place. It's not, it's small, but not really small as far as terrain and so on, in entirety. It's
Oh, come on, really? That's it? That was nothing. That was a little tiny. You could feel the thump though on the ground somehow, but that was a mini eruption.
Yeah, it's like a pneumatic pulse or something in the ground itself. Very interesting.
That doesn't count. We're going to stay for one more. But what you were saying what I was saying actually, I interrupted myself about taking the tour. We decided not to do that at the very last minute. Actually, in fact, we sort of had a reservation for the $58 ride from the airport to where we were staying. And then we said, well, you know, what if we rented a car here at the airport instead? How much would that cost? We did the numbers, and we realized that if we rented a car, obviously we'd drive that to where we were staying, and then visit all these places instead of being on a bus with a bunch of people for 8 hours. We'll take our own time and do it as we please. And we ran the numbers, and we're actually saving money doing that, and it's far preferable. So that's what we did, and we have a car, which hopefully is still where we parked it in this place, and we're going to keep going. There's all kinds of other places to see. We already had a big crater before, you know. It's a massive crater in the ground with a lake at the bottom of it.
Yeah, it was cool. We walked around this whole thing and walked down into it, and learned a little bit about the geological reality we had just experienced. There's descriptions of it, and yeah, it's cool to have that flexibility.
Again, with 1,000 tourists around, but, you know, well-mannered and just as curious as we are.
Yeah, yeah. And, like you said, we can come and go and spend as much time as we please and also get off the beaten path. We're still doing our self-guided tour of these sites, and we're going to probably do a fair amount of getting lost and exploring to maybe have our own unique adventure.
Well, think about it. We can stay out as late as we want. We're not tied to the bus schedule. It doesn't get dark, so we don't have to worry about that. As far as I know, they don't shut the geyser off, so we can, you know, go to places like this and see them at midnight if we feel like it. And if we get back really late, no big deal. It's we're listening to Icelandic radio in the car as we drive, and we've got some pretzels because they're only like $30. No, actually, if you go to a supermarket, you can get some pretty good deals on some things. We got some Icelandic chocolate, we got pretzels, other snacks.
Yeah, just some things to munch on while we're driving, but you got to be careful. And there's ways to do these things, like you said, with the car and different choices. It's all about how you deal with the customs and realities of whatever you're doing, wherever you're visiting. So we try to just evaluate it and do what's best for us, and that's so far been really, really pleasant. We find ourselves having a really good time just making it up as we go.
Oh, that's hot. Okay, we got blasted by some hot water there. Well, hot mist really, but that was the best one. Okay, cool.
I couldn't really hold the camera. Oh man, I got the camera a little wet. I was trying to hold it steady while we were talking. I just couldn't do it. I jumped. It's such a big.
That's an eruption. That's an eruption. Okay, I'm pleased now. I'm happy. All right, let's head back to the car. So, Kyle, here we are. I wonder if listeners can guess where we are. We're still in Iceland, and we're not by the geyser anymore. We're by another natural phenomenon. Anyone want to hasten a guess as to what we're standing next to? No? Nobody at all. Okay, well, you want to reveal what this place is, Kyle?
Well, the name of it is Gullfoss, I think. But basically, we're sort of in between a bit of a rocky, grassy area with a large rushing body of water separating each side. And what they've done is they've made a bit of a pathway with a very tiny little rope, and that rope is there to protect you. And what they're protecting you from is the extremely large and very powerful waterfall that this is known for. And it's really interesting. Very, very moist. There's a lot of mist and water in the air, and of course, rushing past us.
That's what makes it all wet here, I guess.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's the theory. I mean, the water goes, it's going only in one direction, really. Well, two, if you count the mist that goes up, and that's from the falling effect. And it does it in several steps here. There's one, we're a bit further up, and it goes down a smaller fall, maybe a second. And then the third and final sort of changes direction. It's a bit of a corner here. And the fall goes right in against another, one of the side of the walls. And what that does is it pushes all this mist up. And when the light hits it, you get basically permanent rainbows here.
So basically the water is going in three directions. It's going past us, it's going down, and then the mist is rising up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Interesting. But now you say you see rainbows, because I haven't seen a single one. Of course, I'm wearing sunglasses because these bugs are relentless.
Well, yeah, the rainbows actually are not out right now. They're there, but they're not out in a visible way, mostly because it's a bit overcast. I do see blue sky though, in areas, but we're not getting that that beam that it would take to light up the rainbows. But fear not, they're there.
Well, this is really pretty spectacular. And as Kyle mentioned, it's just a flimsy rope. I think it's made out of metal, but it could easily get past it and hurtle to your death far below. But nobody seems to be doing that. They seem to be respecting the boundary here, you know, taking pictures. Yes, again, there's a whole lot of tourists, and we basically found this place on our own. Really fascinating, though. I mean, you know, if you've seen a waterfall, it's a pretty similar concept, but this one in particular just, it's so large and it goes on for such a long space. And, I see a rainbow now. The rainbow just came out.
Yeah, there it is. Well, my rainbow I can see is right there. Your rainbow is probably right next to mine.
And enhanced listener subscribers can see the rainbow through their special receivers.
That's right. If you pledge to the radio station, no, I'm just kidding. We haven't fulfilled that yet. But you can trust that we're actually seeing some of that phenomena right now, because the sun it's sort of setting. It's in the west and it is hitting from the vantage that we can see. So a very very faint bit of light is allowing that to be visible.
I don't think any of these tourists see the rainbow. They're all just taking selfies and taking pictures of each other, pretending to be on the edge of the cliff when they're actually a few feet away from it. But we see it, and that's what's important to us. And we know that you USB listeners are seeing it through our eyes as well. What's the name of this place again?
I think it's Gullfoss.
Okay, and it was named after some guy who seemed to be a bit of a dick, actually. He collected all this gold and was so upset at the fact that when he died, somebody was going to get it, that he threw it into the waterfall. And that's why it was named after him. Or maybe it was named after that action. I'm not sure if gull means gold. I think it does, actually. You know, I don't know why they name things after people ever that they shouldn't. They should name it after Icelandic horses because they're the coolest horses in the world.
They are, actually. We stopped a couple that were beside the road on the way here, and they were really friendly. We actually didn't need directions or anything, so we just basically addressed them in as polite a way as you might. It was a bit of an interruption, I think, but they didn't seem to mind, and we saw some raised eyebrows and some moving ears, and they didn't charge. So I think it was a overall positive interaction.
Well, they act differently than American horses or horses I've seen in other parts of the world. They just seem a lot more animated, a little smaller. Some people call them ponies, but they're actually classified as horses. But they do something very unique. They actually lie down. Like you pass fields where horses are just stretched out resting, and you know, I don't know why that is exactly. I'm not sure why our horses don't know to do that. They just seem so chill and so, you know, totally relaxed. I noticed that with other livestock as well, cows and sheep. They're just kind of they seem to have all this space, and they don't look at all concerned about anything. So they're just kind of hanging out, running around too. You know, how often do you see horses running by themselves, chasing each other in fields? We saw two horses that were just kind of playing games, actual horseplay. And I realize, you know, horseplay is a word we use, but you don't really see horses engaging in horseplay, not nearly enough. Here you do.
That's right. And others of them do favors. There was some scratching and grooming that was going on.
Between horses, yes.
Yes, very, very... very considerate of them, actually, and they really do. They get along. They've got plenty of room, a lot of pasture, a lot of green, and they just seem to know that this is their home and feel at home here.
One wonders though what happens in the winter time, and again, I'd like to find that out firsthand and see.
I was researching, and they actually are very well suited for the climate over the years and so on. They've managed to have what is called a double coat, and basically they have a down or a thicker undercoat that allows them to persist in the very, very, very cold weather during that time of the year. So it's really unique. It's quite interesting how they've developed in the...
And Icelandic horses have been developed over the centuries. You were telling me before how so many of them have been weeded out by the harsh conditions, so that the ones that remained are particularly strong insofar as their breeding. One thing that is also very interesting is that they are not allowed to bring in any other horse from any other part of the world. Icelandic horses are the only kind of horse that is allowed to be in Iceland, and any Icelandic horse who chooses to leave Iceland is not permitted to come back. So any horse that sets sail for any of the other countries, that's a permanent decision. They're not coming back. I think that's fascinating. Yeah, there are Icelandic horses all over the world. There are a bunch in North America, and if you get a chance to hang out with one, I strongly suggest it.
Yeah, it's true. But I don't think it's an act. I don't think that they're sort of scared into liking it here. I don't think there's very many of them that actually want to leave. So we'll investigate that a little bit more. And if any of them, you know, indicate that there is pressure to stay when they do want to travel, but it's the fact they can't come back that concerns them about that, it's kind of up in the air at this point. But we'll definitely report back on that.
You know what I realized standing here talking like this next to the waterfall is that this never stops. You know, this sound is always here. The sound has always been here, like ever since it began, whenever it began. I don't know when that is, but long, long, long time ago, before any of us were around, and I mean as human beings. So think about that. You know, nighttime, it still goes when no one's around watching it. The dead of winter, waterfalls don't freeze. Do waterfalls freeze? No, they don't. These things don't go on strike. They're always, always going. This noise is constantly here. And you think about, you know, what you do in your life, where you live, and the various sounds that you hear. Everything changes. You know, you hear one noise that's not there the next minute or the next month. But this sound never leaves. Imagine if we just had this all the time at USB, the sound of a waterfall in the background. You know, it's just the way it is. That's our sound. Huh. Something to consider. I guess that's why I don't see very many people broadcasting from waterfalls.
Yeah, it strikes me too that most of the sounds we hear are artificial. And these little natural roaring things, I mean, we might have equivalents with like a locomotive off in the distance or a highway that's several, you know, close enough, but, you know, pretty far away. So it's sort of out there and in the background. Well, this is sort of one of those natural sounds that it's been and continues and really is magic.
Even if you live next to the Long Island Expressway and you think that sound of cars is constant, it's not, because, well, sometimes they do construction and they close it. Sometimes there's a blizzard and everybody gets stuck. You know, sometimes there's just no cars at all. That hasn't happened in a long time. But yes, this is something that we're completely powerless to stop. And it's just this constant. And I just wonder how many other things we take for granted like that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's so cool. It's really, I don't know. It really makes you realize the sort of ancient natural rhythms and the things that that this is part of the hydrologic cycle and snowfall and other things lead to this water moving this way and yeah, like you said, it doesn't freeze. It's moving constantly. It makes it really hard to do that. And it's a feature. It's a natural feature that is really powerful and quite awe-inspiring.
I might not be doing it justice, but to let people know, to give you a sense, this sound was here just like this the day Richard Nixon resigned. This sound was here just like this when the Dodgers were in Brooklyn. This sound was here just like this when Abraham Lincoln decided to go out to the movies that fateful night. You know, it was here back in the days of Aristotle and Socrates and Plato when they used to go out drinking together. It's, you know, it blows me away to think of the constant sound that has always been here.
Would you say it's timeless? I mean, it's timeless.
No, I wouldn't say that.
No?
No. I don't know why. It seems like that would be the perfect word, but I just wouldn't say that.
Well, you're welcome to. I mean, I'm
you
not going to stop
you. Can say
you.
That. No, I'm not stopping you. If you want to call it that.
I kind of want to.
Well, no one's stopping you.
Mm. Well, I'll think about it, but
I can't use that word.
It's pretty much what strikes me here is, I have a really healthy fear of this thing.
I think you mentioned that. Now, is it fear of water? Fear of slippery rocks, fear of plummeting what looks like 9,000 feet, but it's probably not that. Fear of tourists, I have that strongly. There's all kinds of fears. Fear of insects, fear of little tiny insects that for some reason decide to go for your eyes.
But in the mist here, we're getting all this mist. I think it's helping.
Fear of rainbows. That's it, isn't it?
Oh, why would you even say that? You know how I get with the rainbows.
Okay.
We're like this, okay?
Uh-huh.
No, it's fine. But it's really, no, it's the unforgiving nature of this natural phenomena. If you go in this, there might be a chance that you could stop yourself. There might be a chance you could, you know, get back quickly, but it is moving fast.
Well, didn't Evel Knievel used to do that? Jump into the waterfalls and dive over the edge? They did something like that.
Yeah. And they have the barrels and stuff out in Niagara. That's like real popular and everything.
For the people who didn't have clothes.
Yeah, they just jump in the barrel and man. Well, this thing's not messing around, and I have a feeling it would open your eyes and a hell of a lot of other parts of you if you tussled with it.
You know, Donald Trump can't do a thing to this. Can't change it in the slightest. Actually, he probably would try to build a dam or something.
Yeah, I was going to mention that you know, it's really thoughtful that they chose not to engineer this into something else. But I have a feeling that they realize the importance of this stuff, them being the Icelanders, and they also, they've got plenty of other ways to get power. The geothermal and other types of renewables that they're so keen on out here seem to be serving them quite well, and they really want for not much more.
Do you know this country is 100% renewable energy?
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I had a feeling
it was... They are completely green.
They are. Wow. Okay. Well, at least, I mean, I had a feeling, but I didn't know it like that. That's impressive. But yeah, it's, I think, because of the geothermal companies. I think actually the company's name is ON, O-N.
That's the name of their electric company?
I don't know. I saw a building that looked like it was part of that network, and it just said on the side of it.
Well, that's a good name for an electric company.
Yeah, better than off.
True, true. Well, you know, we're getting pretty wet here and also deaf, so I think it's time for us to slide back down this rocky hill that we're standing on next to this really, really terrifying waterfall here in Iceland, and maybe come back from a calmer place.
You think my hat would make it if I just threw my hat and then ran down to the bottom and maybe find it or something?
Well, it's funny you should say that, because you did leave a hat in Iceland once, and we were able to find it from New York. But that's another story for another time. Now, you know what? That's a good story for now. Kyle left his hat a couple of years ago. Well, we didn't know where. We just knew that we went to Europe and you had your hat, and we came back to New York and you did not. So we knew somewhere between those two events, you left your hat someplace. And we pretty much narrowed it down to the flight back and thought maybe it was in Paris, maybe it was in the stopover in Reykjavik, or maybe you just left it on a plane, or maybe you just dropped it on the LIRR. I don't know. There's all kinds of possibilities. So we set about trying to find it. I remember we called the Paris airport, and the lost and found department was closed. I actually hacked their answering machine and turned on the room monitor to hear the sound of nobody in the office. That's how committed we were to finding the thing. But then you pushed it a little harder.
Yeah, we were really trying everything. Luckily, there's a photo of me wearing this hat. It's not the hat I'm wearing now. It was a different hat.
How are people going to know what hat you're wearing now?
Well, I mean...
You could have said that was the same hat.
No,
it would have been such good radio.
It's the attitude. You can tell. Listen to me. I mean, come on.
All right.
Anyway, that hat, it was like... It's like every hat I wear. It's like an appendage. It's like a part of me. And when I traced it back in my mind, I realized it was the overhead bin. It definitely was the overhead bin in the airplane. Didn't know exactly for sure, but I had a feeling that's what happened. At any event, sent the picture of me wearing that particular hat, and
Who did you send it to?
The airline themselves. They have a lost and found.
Okay.
Well, a couple weeks later, I get a package.
Well, no, wait. You got an email before you got a package.
I did. I got an email that they had found it. But they happen to be the Icelandic police.
The Icelandic police.
Yeah. So I owe them a big thank you, and definitely debt of gratitude coming from me for having found it and shipped it to me free of charge.
Well, that's not true. We paid them the postage.
Didn't
I forget
we?
How we did it, but I know we paid them the postage. They're no fools. Yeah. They said, pay us the postage and we'll send it to you.
I was so happy to get my hat that I forgot about how much they charged me to send the hat. And I am thanking them to this day, which is also foolish. And that's why the Icelandic police know what they're doing.
Well, they have priorities, and finding hats is important. In fact, we even read a story on the plane over here about somebody who had, 66?
66 North, yeah. It's a famous brand here.
Okay, he had a 66 North hat or something that they didn't make anymore, and he lost it, and he asked people, can you help me find my hat, and all these people gave him their hats, so now he has extra hats.
Yeah, he was like one of these Instagram, you know, like celebrities that does selfies everywhere wearing, you know, the same thing or nothing or whatever. I don't know what these people do. Anyway, it was an iconic thing for him, and I could relate. I've got similar attachments. I just don't go broadcast. Well, wait a minute.
Yeah. But you know, at least you didn't take the hats of children and senior citizens who felt so bad for your story that they sent you the hat off their head. You got your own hat back. And I think that is an amazing story that you were able to get your hat back from Iceland all the way into New York. And that just says something about the people here.
It's true. It's true. They really are quite friendly. And if you can get past the sort of tension where it's obvious you're a tourist, you can kind of break the ice a little. And I feel like, oh, wow, break the ice. Wow. You can kind of, get some warmth, you know, exchange some friendly and friendliness, some unique individuality, instead of just being sort of yet another generic tourist. And so, yeah, that's kind of what we do everywhere we go, and it certainly is the same here. We've had a lot of pleasant experiences getting to know people and getting to know the area that is Iceland.
And my hand is now fused to the microphone because it's really cold here. I think it's kind of cool. It's just after summer solstice here in June, the days are longer than they are at any other time of the year. And here that means that the sun, while it may go down a little bit because we're under the Arctic Circle, it never gets dark. It's always light, but it's still cold. At least at night, it's cold. Or when you're not standing directly in the sun, it's cold. But this is happening at the same time. There's an extreme heat wave in the UK where we just came from. So I just think it's kind of cool that we're here freezing our asses off standing next to this waterfall while other places that we've just been are suffering in heat.
But, E, you know what we didn't do? We didn't talk about anything going on in the rest of the world.
That's true, and I like that.
Isn't that special?
We don't know when this is going to air, too.
Yeah, but regardless, we could have talked about this, you know, that, politics, of course, or social issues, or I could have gone on to rant about some industrial complex that I'm, you know, critical of today. But the point is, we talked about none of that, because we're not anywhere near any of that, and we're actually really content to have this instead of that.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
That makes sense. That makes perfect sense. What doesn't make sense is for me to continue standing here, though, because I'm really freezing and I'm wet.
My shoes are getting wet.
And I'm a little frightened. Yes, so let's pack it up and head inside to our car, and we'll continue this discussion from someplace a little less noisy and a little less cold.
And tell you more about nothing. Oh, wow, yeah, that's...
Rigor mortis is setting in here.
It's pretty stiff, man. Put it under your armpit.
Don't tell me what to do.
Oh, man, Nat, why'd you give me the mic? My hand's freezing now. Right. Why would you hold this?
All right.
We don't even... Ow, who cares? What, listeners are so selfish.
þetta var þjóðtíðalagið í ár 2017 eftir Ragnhildi Gísladóttur sem ég hafði brant flytur lagið og fyrsta skipti sem að þjóðtíðalagið eftir konu.
Hugsa þér.
Hvað að frétta? Okkur mm-hmm. hefur þetta ekki gerst fyrir?
Mm-hmm. Það eiginlega magna.
Bara upphafa að ykkur betra.
Ja. Komin tími til og við fagnum þessu.
Algjörlega, en að því að við erum að tala hérna þjóðtíð og Vestmannaeyjar, þá er nú kannski gaman að lauma því að hlustendum hvar Gunni okkar er.
Já, hann er nefnilega staður í Vestmannaeyjum. Það er nefnilega sko, við vorum að segja einnig morgun að það er nefnilega alls konar hátíður um allt land.
Já.
Hann er heldur betur hátíð í Vestmannaeyjum.
Já.
Kvikmynda hátíð má segja.
Já, má segja það. Við verðum að taka upp nýja íslenska bíómynd,
Já.
Víti í Vestmannaeyjum og fyrir foreldra fótboltabarna, þá vita allir hvað það er.
Mm-hmm.
Þetta er svo sett bókaflokkurinn hans Gunnars Helgasonar, fótboltasögurnar hans og þetta er sem sett á nú að gera bíómynd
já.
Við þá fyrstu. Og þeir voru með heilmiklar pröfur þar sem að ungir knattspyrnumenn og stúlkur komu í pröfur og valið úr þeim hópi til þess að leiki myndinni og ég búin að vera svona aðeins að fylgjast með þess á Facebook og þetta örugglega hrikalega skemmtilegt.
Já, ég hlakka mjög til, mér finnst þetta frábært. Gunni hefur gert rosalega vel í því að skrifa bækur fyrir hennar aldurshóp.
Algjörlega.
Og hann verið skortur á barnabókum, segi ég. Við megum alveg vera enn duglir í að gefa það út, það ekkert alltaf margir höfundar.
Og svo þarf þetta líka að vera, ég þekki það, sko, það ekkert allir krakkar sem hafa áhuga á að lesa bækur.
Nei, nei.
Þó maður hafi sjálfur eru bókaormur, þá ekki þar með gefið að börnin manns verið það líka. En þessar bækur, allavega á mínu heimili, hafa vakið mikla lukku og það þarf einmitt að skrifa bækur fyrir börn sem að þeim finnst skemmtilegar
Já.
Og spennandi. Ekki bara einhverja svona fyrirlestra í bókaformi.
Nei, það sem að vera
messa yfir þeim og hérna, ég laka til. En hvað ætla Gunni okkar að leika? Má segja frá?
Ég veit hann ekki hvað það meins. Þú voru því ekki.
Ég sé hann alveg fyrir mér í svona þjálfarahlutverki.
Já.
Eða dómari.
Hann er náttúrulega vanur að dómari hérna í spurningakeppninu en hann er sundur svolítið linu, sko. Hanna, ég veit ekki.
Það verður ekki þannig
á
mér, skal
ég
segja
þér. Nei, það verður alveg harkan hérna.
Það verður harkan sagt, hann verður bara tekin upp hérna útsvarsstílin á þessu.
Já.
Ekki gefin tóma eftir.
Nei, en hann verður allavegni myndinni, er í tökum þessa helgi, Já. Út í eigum með allir krakkanum.
Spennandi, mm-hmm. Ég laka til.
Já.
Ætli að það er eitthvað búið að gefa út, veistu það, sko, vinsluferli á þessar mynd, hvenær maður getur hugsanlega að sé það?
Nei, ég þorum bara ekki að fara með það.
Nei, þetta tekur náttúrulega einhverja mánuði,
Já.
Bæði tökur og eftirvinnsla.
Já.
Kannski fyrir jól.
Mögulega.
Eða næsta vor, kannski páskana næstu. Aldrei að vita. En við ætlum að fara yfir í alltaf að sálma hér rétt á eftir. Við ætlum að fara aðeins að spá í brúðkaup.
Mm-hmm.
Og við ætlum meira sig að hringja í brúði sem bara að græja sig fyrir sitt eigið brúðkaup í dag. Það hún Hekla Katarína Kristinsdóttir sem verður á línunni á okkur á eftir. Og svo það hamingjan sem tekur við í beinum framhaldi.
Mm.
Er það ekki bara, segir það ekki sig sjálft, þú veist? Röngrætt framhald bara.
Ég von allan að fólk sé hamingu samt sem er nýgift og verða áfram.
Já. Við gerum ekki ráð fyrir öðru.
Men.
En Hrefna Guðmundsdóttir kemur til okkar hálf 11 leitið til að spjalla hamingjuna. En ef ekki að heyra, fá smá músík, smá meira íslenskt.
Endilega.
Kiriama Family með lag af langþráður í blötu, við erum búin að bíða hvað í 4 ár eftir 9 frá þeim og þetta slær alveg gegn, heitir About You.
Set the pain aside, just a little something that's more beautiful.